Missed it. Didn't mean to scare you. Just saw that bottle. Thought it looked pretty heavy.
Hi, Lloyd. A little slow tonight, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Mr. Torrance. What'll it be?
I'm awfully glad you asked me that, Lloyd. Because I just happen to have 220s and 210s right here in my wallet. I was afraid they were going to be there next April. So here's what. Slip me a bottle of bourbon, a little glass, and some ice. You can do that, can't you, Lloyd? You're not too busy, are you?
No, sir. Not busy at all.
Good man. You set him up, and I'll knock him back, Lloyd. One by one. White man's burden, Lloyd, my man. White man's burden.
It is 12 ounces of terror, and I am again joined by Mr. Graveshift Radio himself, Ryan Lewis. Ryan, how you doing tonight?
What is the fuck up, son?
Just enjoying what we will affectionately call the happy hour segment of 12 ounces.
Right, right. And speaking of, what is your beverage of choice this evening, sir?
This evening, I am drinking the North Peak Brewing Company's Diabolical India Pale Ale.
That sounds complicated.
It is, but it has a jackalope on the front.
Well, then I would buy it. I'm doing the traditional Stella right now because it makes me happy when skies are gray. So let's do this, son.
Stella Artois. There is nothing wrong with that beer. It is a fine, fine imported beverage.
Which I found out tonight goes really fucking well with the Toxic Avenger for some reason.
You see, I pretty much reserved all of my beer drinkage for the evening until our conversation began.
I've found when it comes to this show, it's only the second episode, but I already have a design for some fucked up reason. But my design is an hour before the show begins, I drink at least three beers. And then for the show, I drink at least two more.
Shit.
There it is, man. So I'm obliterated by the end of the show, pretty much.
Oh, I'll get there. I've got, five more of these bad boys to get through. And then if that isn't enough, I'll have two Leinenkugel Creamy Darks, followed by a double deuce of Budweiser, just to put it up, just to take it on home.
And that's the thing. I don't want any of the listeners of this show to think that I am a drunk, because I only drink pretty much on this show. The rest of the time, I can go through my day. I drink a lot of water. I drink a lot of milk. But when it comes to 12 ounces of terror and maybe the two-drink minimum commentary, I'm pounding a little booze. These are my let-loose times.
Which I think that would be a good little cue for me to say, what other than this, and as we all know, Graveshift Radio, have you been working on? Have you been doing any other podcasts? Any?
Oh, yes.
Lay
yes,
it
yes,
on
I,
us.
I recently, we did the third chapter of the Phantasm series. I just have to edit it. I've been lazy. So that's going to be coming out of the pipeline. I recently did a spot on the Skeleton Crew, and that episode just dropped today, of doing Abbott and Costello meets every monster humanly possible. We did all the movies on one show.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it was a trek. We're talking a like three and a half hour episode.
Is that five movies they did?
That is five movies. And it was a lot of fun. It was a good time. That episode just dropped as of today at the time of this recording.
Wow.
Just this morning, did a guest spot on Jamie Jenkins' show, Liking It, going over a specific film which will remain nameless because I think she's trying to surprise people of what this film is. But it's a badass werewolf film that happens to be of French descent. And other than that, Oh, yeah, yeah. Yesterday, 12 drink minimum commentary. Just 12
drink
that.
Minimum. Holy cow.
Now it's 12 drinks, 2 drink minimum commentary. I'm sorry, I've been drinking. And we did a commentary of I, Madman.
That movie, which, you just can't get out from underneath that SOB, that was, can you?
Right, that was my pick. But oh, really? Sadly, I don't think anybody dug it as much as I did. So we spent literally this entire film, it hasn't dropped yet, but we spent the whole time talking about other movies, which was odd. Like, it just didn't come up. And it was just weird.
The movie you're watching just, hey, look at this. They're Roman features.
Right. And we're talking about this movie, which is hysterical, and talking about all this stuff. And at the end of the movie, everybody's got to rate it. And then Gary says, he admits that he didn't watch the film at all before the commentary, that we're talking over the whole thing. And wow, he still rates it anyway.
So who else joined you on Two Drink Minimum?
Of course, we had Gary Hill from Cinema Beef Podcast and all that happy jazz. We had Gil Rakitansky from Gil and Roscoe's Bodacious Horror Podcast. And we also had Philippe O'Neill, who he is on another podcast that is escaping me at the moment, but he's a real cool dude. And it was a good conversation. It was just conversations about everything else.
Well, it's, you know, you get talking shop about whatever, you know, whatever other good movies you might have seen recently, or, you know, boobs or whatever.
Right, which is probably the boobs.
Well, and
there was a large conversation.
You see them once, you want to see them all.
Right. I like them big, I like them small, I like them all. We spent a lot of time talking about the main character girl in that film and how she's hot, but she looks sad all the time.
Jennifer Finch?
Right, I believe that's her name. Jenny Finch. Yes. Jenny Finch.
Yeah. Lawnmower Man and Near
Young
Dark.
Young Guns 2.
I think she shows a little buttocks in that.
Yes, and it looked fantastic. She looks rough nowadays, though.
I don't think I've seen a modern picture. Just
it's
so
kind of one of those things
my,
you don't want to.
Yeah, don't I don't want to ruin my... Because she was absolutely ravishing in Near Dark, too. She just had, like, right, the tight jeans and the little tied-off flannel shirt, and, you know, that was good. It was good.
And that's all I've been up to.
I read some comics, and I've been watching a good number of films recently, basically trying to get caught up on what I could, and then, you know, of course, the movies for this movie, and then this podcast, and then sitting over not 3 feet away from me, I have Still in Plastic, the battery. It is mocking me. I can hear it. But
there is no reason that you shouldn't have watched this yet. It's just a fantastic film.
I picked it up today and had two movies to watch prior to it.
Right.
So if I'd have had the time available to me, I certainly would have. But I'd managed to, you know, leave the house, crawled out from underneath my rock, and it scored pretty well. I think for an Andrew Jackson, I came up with The Battery. Ernest Scared Stupid. It's just nice. Such a fun film. Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby.
I have it on DVD, but it's elsewhere, and it's one of those kind of gaping holes in a film collection.
I will go on record that I think that is a masterful film.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. And it was a kind of a glaring hole in my film collection. For just that reason, I picked up a copy of The Hills Run Red, which it's sort of a meta film, I guess, with slasher trappings, maybe a little bit of Texas Chainsaw thrown in there, and William Sadler to, you know, add to the mix. Generally a movie I enjoy, so it was certainly worth picking up. And I picked up one other movie, but yeah, I picked up like 5 movies for $20, so I was pretty happy with myself.
Oh, you can't beat that with a stick,
but,
right there.
You know, time of year, we're getting close to Halloween. So the horror movie prices drop a little bit, or at least, you know, good multi-packs or what have you kind of make their way onto the shelf.
Right. My big movie purchase, I've only purchased one. Well, actually, I purchased two. But the one I purchased was Oculus, which, if you haven't seen Oculus, I highly recommend it.
It is certainly on my list.
It's one of those things, you know how everybody and their mother is saying every time something horror comes out, they're bitching because remakes are coming out left and right, and everybody's screaming, why don't these people come out with something new? This is something new.
Well, there are podcasts that will kind of quash that, oh, why are they making remakes? Because there's a guy, Duncan, you know, also on the network.
Right.
Who did a very inclusive remake series about the best ones.
Which I was fortunate enough to take place the first episode of that. Yeah.
Which I came late to it. There were some inclusions to that that I was very happy about.
Right.
Namely The Hitcher, I think, was probably the one that, and The Wicker Man. Both were.
Right. The bees! The digital bees! Well,
as I had mentioned on Facebook, I have not watched The Wicker Man remake. The original is a film that it's not a daily watcher by any means, but it's one of those that every about once a year, maybe even couple of years, you throw in, you watch, and it gives you enough time to kind of forget enough where it's an enjoyable movie experience.
All you gotta do is go to YouTube and literally look up Nick Cage's Wicker Man best scenes.
I don't have to.
Spark up a J if you got one, or drink a couple fucking beers and watch this shit, and it's hysterical. And it's even more hysterical out of context. Because you're not seeing all that surrounding it, and the acting is just horrendous.
Yeah, it was said, I think, somewhere anyway, that it's just a lot of Nicolas Cage being crazy Nicolas Cage.
Right.
Which, I mean, that in and of itself is possibly worth watching, but to have something that I enjoy kind of spit, pissed, and shat on in such a way... I can just as soon live without that. But on the idea of the whole soft reset, I actually sat down in another film that I had watched a couple of nights ago. The first Chud.
Chud.
I had forgot how truly legit of a horror movie this really is.
Chud is fantastic.
I don't know if it's because I'm more involved in podcasting now and I was seeing it with a more critical eye. That film is really legit. It was just like, you've got a cop in an 80s film that kind of bucks the trend of not being completely incompetent or an asshole in Captain Bosch there. He's like a tried and true, dude's a fucking hero. I mean, at least in the terms of the movie. I mean, he might be a dick cop. But he's propelled by his own... stuff. He's looking for his wife. Spoilers.
And then you got Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern, who actually kind of, for me, kind of knocks it out.
Right.
And then you also have, the dad from Home Alone.
right.
The photographer. Cooper. But I just think, I sat down, and I don't know if it's just... something pinged with me, and it was like watching it through new eyes, because I'd forgotten enough of the film that it wasn't new, but while I was watching it, I could just kind of take the back seat and not be like, oh, I know what happens next, and just sit down and enjoy the movie. And that was it was nice and refreshing that way, and I enjoyed the shit out of that movie the other night.
Right on. Then I suggest, not to be self-promoting, you gotta jump back and listen to Graveshift Radio's Chud review we did, because it is definitely a Chud friendly episode, and it's fantastic.
I'm willing to say that I probably actually have that saved on my computer, because I usually download Graveshift and keep it, just because, you know, I mean, typically you're doing older films, so it's not like they're time sensitive or anything.
Right, so, very true.
But yeah, that it, like with Chud, it happened, and then a short time ago, it also happened where, you know, it was like an eye-opener with Prince of Darkness, John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness.
Right.
A film I've always enjoyed, but I don't know what mental switch flipped or whatever, but when I watched this movie, it genuinely creeped me out. A film I had seen close to a dozen times, as John Carpenter tends to fall into rotation with me often.
Right.
I mean, with the exception of, like, Assault on Precinct 13 and Someone Is Watching You and Black Star, like the old Carpenter, because they're kind of tough to get a hold of.
Right.
Which, you know, if John Carpenter, if you're listening to this, how about a box set? Is that too much to ask for? Everybody's making the box sets.
It would be nice to have a whole Carpenter box set. That'd be crazy.
Like the all-inclusive, like, I mean, even if he could just do, like, the soundtrack albums. Because he typically does all the soundtracks for his movies.
Right, exactly.
How about a Blu-ray set of just him and Kurt Russell? You do the Elvis film. I mean, all of it, you know, start to finish. There's five movies there. It'd be a good $100 bill. He still probably owns the rights, so he'd see, you know, $60 of it. Come on, man. You're a capitalist. You know what's up.
He is certainly a capitalist because he's the first one that every time they're going to do a remake of one of his films, he's saying it makes me very happy because I get money. At least he's honest about it. You know what I mean?
So, I don't know if you caught this on Twitter or not the other day. Fangoria, you know, they typically put up a question a day, and usually they're pretty good questions. They're not, you know, like the cheesy, really easy, you know, like, oh, what's your least favorite insert franchise name? But in this particular instance, what's your least favorite Nightmare on Elm Street film?
Wes Craven comes back.
The remake. Wes Craven, you are the man.
I'm telling you, man, that's beautiful.
Oh,
that's a bold statement. It's like saying, oh, you know what? The remake is worse than Freddy's Dead. The remake is worse than Nightmare 5. You know, that kind of stuff, which is just awesome. Uncle Wes pulling it through.
Just a great guy. I mean, all the way around. It's just, I never really knew a whole lot about Wes Craven. I knew he made a lot of iconic films, but I knew next to nothing about the guy personally, other than he had some tenuous involvement with pornography.
Yeah, I believe he directed at least one porn film back in the day.
But I mean, you know, I think a lot of people did that, credited or otherwise.
Right.
Steven Soderbergh, Men in Black director.
Right.
He was in porn for years. By his own admittance, you know, it's just, yeah.
Which I don't see anything wrong with that.
No, not at all.
Honestly, I don't. Everybody jerks off, man.
The main character of Cannibal Holocaust, what's his name? Can't think of it. the guy who goes down and finds the footage.
Right.
He made like 80 porn films.
Directed or starred in?
Starred in.
I thought he looked familiar when I watched Cannibal Holocaust for the show. Honestly,
yeah,
I said, where did I see this fucking guy?
He maintained matching beards.
Right. Very nice.
But while we are still currently actually running the show off the tracks, I actually do have something I wanted to bring to your attention on the show to get your opinion on. And that is, I don't know if you caught this or anything. It was on Yahoo News and a couple of comic book related websites, but Janusz Kaminski, cinematographer for Steven Spielberg on a number of films, said that after production of his current film wraps up, he is going to begin principal photography for Indiana Jones 5.
Oh my God. It should be called Indiana Jones and the Rest Home.
And I'm kind of wondering where you're at on this, but to add, I was reading through a couple of articles, and one of them kind of stated that in order to get Harrison Ford on board with doing episode 7 of Star Wars, they kind of had to promise a couple of more indie flicks.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I also read a conflicting story that said that it could possibly be a reboot. Although, I can't imagine Steven Spielberg being involved with a reboot other than possibly as, like, executive producer.
Well, what I was fearing, honestly, after watching the debacle that was Indy 4, that they would have Mutt be the new Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know.
Would you imagine Shia LaBeouf running around in a fucking temple? I don't think I could take it.
I think the current score is him being batshit crazy.
Something like that.
Could be wrong, but...
I listen, I'm a huge, I'm talking massive Indiana Jones fan.
So am I.
Massive. Okay, if somebody was going to ask me, what is Harrison Ford's most iconic role? And I'm a Star Wars fan too, but it's Indy. And Indy is just, it's been an important part of my life for the entirety of my life. There was nothing sadder to me. Nothing sadder than seeing... Indiana Jones is an old man.
Yeah.
And that makes me so sad because Indiana Jones, you know, I like to think of Indiana Jones as the guy that every chick he comes across wants to just suck the skin off his cock. That's how I like to think of Indiana Jones. He's just a swaggering, badass, you know, fucking, you know, explorer. That's how I see him. And to see him in any other way kind of hurts me. And, you know, yeah, he got with his girl in the fourth one, and then he got introduced with his family and all that shit, and that's great, and everybody gets old, you know what I mean? I'm gonna get super old at one point. I'm gonna fucking, you know, become decrepit, probably end up in a wheelchair eventually, but I don't want to think about myself that way, so the least I want to do is see my favorite action hero that way.
You see, I tend to fall in line with that. I've like the films. I think that for what George Lucas and Steven Spielberg did, for three of them, are kind of untouchable. I mean, they're pieces of cinema history that just shouldn't be messed with.
Right.
And, I mean, when they initially announced there was going to be a fourth Indiana Jones, which is back in 96 or something like that, it was announced, okay, we're going to make a fourth Indiana Jones movie, but it's going to come after the Star Wars prequels.
Right.
So even if they'd have kind of been Johnny on the spot in 2003, even, like, okay, we wrapped up the shoot on episode three, and then, like, immediately zoomed out and got Harrison Ford, like, in his 50s and went with it, that would have been great. But no, they kind of had to dink around and do that. And I just think that particular, it just needs to stop.
Right.
Now, if they want to, I think I could give a reboot a pass over another sequel. But only for this reason. Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, the TV series. They've touched on that. They've went through his younger adventures, so they could bridge that gap between him being a 20-something into being like a 30-something.
I suppose so.
You know, I mean, so long as they didn't get like Tyler Lautner or Zac Efron or you know, somebody like that. So long as they were smart about it, I think I could get on board with a reboot before another sequel.
Well, you know, you and probably, you know, 1,000 other people, but I don't want a sequel. I don't want a reboot. I don't want anything. I want to pretend 4 never happened. I want to watch all 3 of the originals and then be happy. But I have the pressing question, because this will tell me the type of person you are. Indiana Jones films, which one's your favorite?
Oh, man, that is tough. I think I honestly have to go with Raiders, though. Temple of Doom is a more visually engaging movie,
is my favorite, might I add.
Oh yeah, and it's a great, great film. But Raiders is just the one that it kind of set the precedent. It kind of keeps more in line with the type of adventure stories that I enjoy, like Clive Cussler novels, not so much Sahara. I didn't care for that film very much. But like that Two-Fisted Tale, Doc Savage, I'm kind of at a loss for words to articulate it well enough, but I think that Raiders just kind of captures that spirit of adventure, and that, and that in no way demeans either of the two films that came after that, because Temple of Doom is a stupid fun movie. The movie itself is not stupid, but it is just so crazy fun. But I don't like the chick in that film.
Oh, Willie, she's annoying as fuck.
And that's, I just can't get on board with her. And that's a deterrent to me that it's just one really annoying character can bring any movie down for me.
See, it's and for me.
And I don't have that disconnect. But, you know, and she's balanced out by Short Round.
Right, that's what I'm just about to say. Short Round, you know, makes up for the fact that she's an annoying cunt.
I mean, Temple of Doom is a really great adventure film, too, because it's an exotic locale, and it's Indy doing what Indy does. He's being an archaeologist. He knows the history of...
And it's dark.
And yeah, it is definitely a much darker film than Raiders. But I think it's the fact that it's not as dark that I think I like Raiders, because it's just kind of a very straightforward action ride. That, and I mean, no one rides through a propeller in Temple of Doom. Yes, underneath the big roller, which it is kind of rad, but to see big beefy, you know, Taurus, whatever the guy's name from Punch Out was, go riding through that, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's a beautiful thing, but I will counter with Indy cuts a rope bridge and several people fall from a rope bridge and get eaten by crocodiles.
Crocs, yeah. That's, oh, yeah, and I don't know. They're all great films, and for myself having to choose one, I think, you know, Desert Island, Raiders.
Right on. Okay, that just told me the type of person you are. You are the straightforward, adventurous hero, and I want my heroes in absolute peril and darkness. I want to see children get slapped around. I want to see people's hearts get ripped the fuck out. I want to see all this crazy shit.
Ripped out.
I know, you know, Kalima. What? It's just the implications of it are just fantastic.
And holy shit. You get that visual, but then their heart's still there. It's crazy.
Right, it's true. It's true.
I know, it's awesome, because it's like fucking black magic and shit. Don't get me wrong. Awesome fucking movie.
I mean, holy shit. It is. We're still going with the first segment, son.
What? Yeah. What, are you on some sort of clock here, man?
No, but as soon as we go to break, I'm going to take a piss.
Oh, well, we can, yeah, okay. Since Ryan needs a piss, no. I can't lay it at your feet. I got to fucking, I'm dancing in my seat here, too. You're probably hearing it. But we are going to go to our first break. We'll be coming back with the 2011 film, River of Darkness.
Ugh.
As we, if that's any indication, I'm sure Ryan will have a number of colorful things to say. So you should probably stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
Strapped him in as he stood. After 30 years of purgatory, they're coming back and pulling us down into a river of blood. You already know. You've already seen.
She's down by the river. I've never seen anything like it.
They say that the Jacob boys have come back from the dead. They've come back for their revenge.
The Jacobs boys, they never really bothered anybody. Harvey Hicks and a band of vigilante thugs went down to the river and sent them over the dam to their deaths.
We had 3 murders in this town. And the word Hicks appears at both crime scenes.
This town's already damned.
They're here. They've come.
30 years, those souls have been drowning in that river over and over again.
This town's going to hell quick.
This is all your fault!
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil.
It's time to talk some River of Darkness.
Piece of shit fucking movie. Oh, this movie makes me so angry.
All right. And to bring the rest of there, to bring the listeners up to speed, this film was made in 2011. It was directed by Bruce Kohler and stars Bill Hainsman, Kurt Angle, Sid Vicious, Kevin Nash, and Bill Laird. A brief synopsis. A group of murders take place in a small riverside community. Leading the investigation into the murders is Sheriff Will Logan, played by Kurt Angle, who's backed up by none other than ripoffs of Fred, a.k.a. Clark, Daphne, a.k.a. Mackenzie, and Velma, a.k.a. Autumn from Scooby-Doo, who, through a series of interviews, determine that the unsavory Jacobs boys, who are wrongly condemned to die by means of vigilante justice, have returned from the grave, and they are out for blood. So, Ryan, I think we'll let you start off on this.
Christ. This movie has probably the worst acting I've ever seen, ever. And the fact that you are mentioning that these are wrestlers in this film kind of shows why. This movie is so fucking bad, it hurt me to watch it. I literally almost turned it off and said, you know, I'm going to come back and tell him it's an incomplete. I couldn't make it through this movie because it was that fucking bad. It was horrendous. We got these three. This is a wannabe Fog / Sometimes They Come Back type movie. If they had a baby that should have been fucking aborted, that's this film. This thing is... No, here's the thing. You tell me right fucking now. What is redeemable about this film?
I'm sorry. Oh, you're Your tirade is so good. redeemable about this film?
Yes.
Well, for what it's worth, the inclusion of Bill Hinsman, which, for those who don't know, is zombie numero uno in the original Romero Night of the Living Dead. In the graveyard with Judith O'Day, they're coming to get you, Barbara. So, I mean, bringing him into the fold for at least novelty value, okay. So at least you can tuck that one into your belt.
Combat that. It is a beautiful thing that he did not have lines in Night of the Living Dead, because he, like the rest of the cast, cannot act. None of them.
No, you're absolutely right. I never actually set out with the intention of defending this film so much as sharing the pain with somebody. Because, I mean, there are observations that I've made about this film, which on your initial viewing, I don't know if you picked up on.
Oh, such as?
I'm pretty sure that the camera that they used on that film was on a tripod that only had one height.
Right.
If you have the stomach for it, I mean, you know, mute it, whatever. Go back through and watch, and you'll notice that every shot in this film is roughly 5'6".
Mm.
If anyone's taller than that, it's an upward shot. If they're shorter, it's a downward shot. With the exception of Deputy Moron, which, I mean, you know, he's kind of offering up one of the best performances of the crap fest. But then so is, you know, Cedric the Entertainer and the other guy working at the gas station, you know, just throwing a couple of your mama jokes at one another. The credits in that fucking movie go the wrong fucking way.
I know! Why? Okay, are you trying to be fucking artsy with your goddamn credits when you're making a movie that's so fucking bad that nobody that watches this thing? Oh, what do you think this is, Seven? Who the fuck do you think you are?
I mean, this movie is bad. I am in no way gonna really put forth a lot of effort saying that this is anything but
abysmal.
I will take it a step higher and say this would serve as background noise. If you and some friends were together drinking a lot of beer and talking loudly and possibly having a radio going,
it would be something moving
along the wall.
If I had a bunch of friends that pissed me off come over, I would put this on just so they'd leave. That's how bad this film is to me.
Now tell us how you really feel about the film, Ryan.
Okay, you've got these three wrongfully murdered individuals that come back for vengeance, the Fog style, and they have perfectly coiffed Fabio hair. You can see the separation between the end of their eyelids and the makeup.
Oh, the makeup, you know, green makeup with like some oatmeal smeared on their face,
right,
for texture.
Right. There's one part that I enjoyed in this film, just one part, and it happened near the beginning. And I'm not talking about the girls that also can't act, talking about going to smoke a joint at the dock. I'm talking about when the girl does smoke a joint at the dock.
I got a doobie for the dock.
Right.
That is the line that nearly had me shut off that film. It is like 2 minutes into that movie. I've got a doobie for the dog.
Right. And then when after that happened and the chick goes to the dock, she gets stabbed twice in the chest piece and then like kind of lifted off the ground. And when I saw that, when I was only like 2 minutes into this film, I said, well, it's got some pretty shitty acting from those two girls, but that was kind of cool. This might not be so bad. And then the next scene happened, and then that was just completely destroyed because the sheriff comes out and he starts talking and you're like, what the fuck are you doing behind a camera. Why is this pointed at you right now? Because you are not ready for this, sir. He's not ready. His performance is abysmal. And then he talks to someone else, which is Deputy So-and-so, and Deputy So-and-so is not ready either.
So, who called it? Just some fishermen.
Right. Oh, my.
He's a fucking cop. He should fucking know who called, you know?
And then we got the
film. You just have Kurt Angle, like, whenever anybody talks to him, he has this look like he shit his pants.
Right. He looks like he is completely confused of why there is a lumpy spot in his underpants. That's what he looks like for this entire film. And then we get supporting characters such as let's have the obligatory crazy lady that everyone thinks is crazy, that's predicting that some things are going to happen. She's abysmal too. She can't act to save her fucking life. And like you said it, fucking the camera, you know, it is a static height through the entire film. And on top of that, it looks like they used like 1980s grain film for this fucking movie. It just looks piss poor. To the bad makeup effects on these actual people, to the fact that they even bother to grime up their hair at all, it makes no goddamn sense whatsoever. And the story of it is clearly ripped from 35 other fucking movies and then mashed together for the plot of this film to create something that is completely uninspired, filled with shit actors and terrible effects.
I agree with every point you just made. Absolutely.
Like, if I want to watch a bad movie,
it's gonna be like the shortest fucking review segment in the world.
Right.
This movie's garbage. You are correct.
If I want to watch a bad movie that is still entertaining, it's gonna be the second film that we are reviewing.
Oh yeah, amen to that. But like I said, this is about shared pain.
Right, and it certainly is. I
wholeheartedly apologize for afflicting this film on you.
Don't even bother apologizing, because I have to tell you that I lost about an inch of respect for you for even putting this movie forth. To corrupt my brain.
I can live with that. I have to.
You have to imagine, I have been on many a show. I have done many an episode. I've watched a lot of fucking movies at this point. This is the worst movie I've ever watched. Literally.
I'm wearing that as a badge. Shut Ryan Lewis down.
Right. The acting on this is worse than Hellraiser Revelations.
Really? I haven't seen that yet.
Well, they're horrible actors. These people are worse. These people, this is middle school play caliber acting. That's what this is.
I was in middle school plays. I think I did better than most of the people in this film.
Well, it's because you were deluded like these people at that time.
I don't care.
Your brain didn't develop enough.
All afternoon. Listen to that. I honestly can't believe this movie was not put up for an award.
At least
a Razzie.
At least. I can't believe this thing wasn't put up for adoption. I can't believe this thing wasn't aborted. I can't believe this film was even made. Who directed this again?
Bruce Kohler.
Do you realize his last name kind of sounds like colon? And that's what he produced. Dog shit.
Does it help to say that they made this movie for around $3.3 million?
No. It doesn't help at all. It does not. Right now, there is a film that is being made by like a 14-year-old girl.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
The acting in the trailer looks better than this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
14-year-old girl. That's all I'm saying.
Hey?
That's all I'm fucking saying.
I knew you'd love this film. Just do it. I'd almost say, hey, why don't you watch it again and report it how you feel about it in the next episode.
Like I was saying,
it will grow on you like herpes.
I was watching this film with headphones, and my wife walked into the room to smoke a cigarette. And so she started talking to me, so I unplugged the headphones so I could talk to her, and we were talking, And then halfway through our conversation, she stopped talking mid-sentence and just looked over at the computer screen and stared at it for about a minute and then looked right at me. And I said, "What's up?" And then she looked right at me and said, "This is the worst acting I've ever experienced in my life. Why are you watching this?"
I said, "Because for Pat a show." Walsh is an asshole.
Right. And I said, "It's for a show." And she said, "Any show that made you watch this, you should probably leave it."
Well, can't argue with that.
I don't think I belong here, son.
All right. So next week, me and new co-host, I don't know. Pick a name out of the phone book.
Maybe we could get you the horror nerd. She could be your co-host. That'd be fantastic.
The horror nerd?
Oh, look her up on YouTube. It'll change your life.
No, thank you. No. And anybody who is a self-proclaimed nerd, no. That's way too Big Bang Theory for my liking.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask if you have anything else to say about the film, but
I'd hate for you to fuck this movie. Fuck it in the butt with no lube. Fuck this movie. I will never watch this again. You can't get me to watch this again. I would rather wake up with my dick nailed to the fucking ceiling than ever watch this film again.
Wow.
This is bad, son. There's no enjoyment. This isn't even one of those, you know, let's watch it to see how bad it is. This is just a bad film. I am going to look up, you know, I want you to say some stuff right now, and I'm going to look up on IMDb this fucking movie. And I want to see what people are saying. What's the name of this fucking movie again, sir?
River of Darkness.
River of Darkness. Okay, say some stuff.
Say some stuff.
Yeah, go ahead, dude.
Well, all right. For my two cents on this film,
let me interrupt. It's got a 1-star rating.
Oh, yeah. I know. It's amazing it got that high of a rating, right?
Ooh, <yeah.
laughs> But I'm not sure if any listener out there ultimately... In case they missed what Ryan had to say, he's saying this movie is garbage, and he isn't really wrong. The acting in this film is pretty god-awful. There's really no endearing qualities about the dialogue, the overarching story of the film. It works off pretty much every trope you can imagine for... a movie that is trying to emulate either Sometimes They Come Back Part 8 or The Fog remake, minus any inclusion of even legitimate effects. Although there was some decent lighting in a couple of spots. Not many. At least they chose to backlight the Jacobs boys on the island. If they were front-lit, you'd really have a better look at that really god-awful makeup. It's a saving grace, because you don't have to look at that makeup again.
I'm going to read you a couple things I'm reading.
I've read them. I read them, man.
Do you love seeing your favorite WWF, WWE, TNA star battle it out against a bunch of hillbilly swamp things? If you do, please hide your innocent mind from this giant regurgitated turd of a film. There's one. Next one. Oh, come on. Seriously. Worst film ever. Oh, my God. I just cannot believe it. Everything about this movie is terrible.
I agree with whoever that is. I disagree with that. I actually have worse movies than this.
Dreadful acting throughout, weighed down with moderately enjoyable slasher ghost DTV. Undead victims, but this film is a pile of dog shit. I had low expectations going into watching this film, and I saw it only to see how a professional wrestler, Kurt Angle, did on the screen. I hope for at least a mildly entertaining bad film. But this is the worst movie I've ever seen. Okay, that's just the first three. I believe that my review of this movie is beyond accurate.
It is not in dispute either. This movie is pretty well garbage. I won't
deny
it.
I'm going to do something right now. I'm going to turn on my webcam. I'm going to stare you in your face. Fuck you for picking this movie for me to watch. Eat a dick. This movie's fucking horrible. I'm turning it off now.
Well, if only that could go up with the podcast. I wish I'd have grabbed a screenshot of that. Because I put that up on, well, I'd start a Facebook page to put that picture up. Ryan Lewis telling me to fuck off. Telling me to eat. Ryan Lewis telling me to eat a dick. Fuck it, man. I know this movie's crap.
God damn it. What? Let's rate this fucking piece of shit.
Haven't you already?
What would you give this festering turd of a film?
Oh,
say the title again, because I cannot make my brain remember this.
River of Darkness. The 2011 Bruce Kohler masterpiece. It could be his masterpiece. I'm sure it's his swan song, but it could be his masterpiece.
Right.
River of Darkness. As for me, and having actually watched this film 4 times, number 4 was the last. This movie is a certified 12 ounces of terror, unwatchable film.
Fuck this movie, dude.
Wrong podcast.
Dude, I'm bringing it with me on every podcast. Fuck this movie. It's abysmal. It's horrible. Don't watch this film. Just do not. This is the worst thing that anyone involved has ever done. And I feel bad. This is an incomplete. This film, it doesn't feel like a film. It just feels like a collection of failures. Now, this thing is horrendous.
Now, you know, in its own weird way, we could be inadvertently making the push to turn this into a cult film.
Yeah, it could be, but, you know, who's going to hear it? What, 10 listeners at this point?
Through the heart, yo. Ouch!
I'm done. I'm done talking about this.
Yeah, I think we've all said our piece about this piece. But I guess we're going to go to our second break. We'll be back with what will inadvertently definitely go better than this film.
We'll be right back. 90-pound weakling. Everyone hated Melvin.
I'm gonna take this mop and shove it down your throat.
They teased him.
I wanna do it with you.
Okay.
They taunted him. They tormented him until he had a horrifying accident and fell into a vat of nuclear waste, transforming little Melvin into a hideously deformed creature of superhuman size and strength. Melvin became the Toxic Avenger, the first superhero born out of nuclear waste. Yes, the muggers and the rapists didn't know what law and order was until the Toxic Avenger came to town.
Holy shit!
I don't know what it was, but it saved my life.
All right, everybody, drop your tacos or I'll blow your brains out.
The vandals and the perverts had their way with the little people of Tromaville until the Toxic Avenger ripped them apart. The Toxic Avenger. His face is so terrifying. We can't show it to you now. You'll have to see the movie for yourself. The Toxic Avenger can bend steel with his bare hands.
Oh, we're on a kid. Get it?
Leap small cars in a single bound. He crushes drug pushers. Smashes hit and run drivers. And gives all criminals their just desserts. The Toxic Avenger.
He was a hero.
He's a hero. He's a fighter. He's a lover.
Well, Melvin, you're beautiful.
The good citizens love him. The fat and corrupt hate him.
Kill that bastard for me. You gotta kill him.
Yeah.
Will he survive? For incredible explosive action, you must see the Toxic Avenger. He's a different kind of hero. The Toxic Avenger is coming to your town. Look out.
And we're back. Jesus Christ, that was a long break.
Yeah, yeah, and since the break, my neighbors have decided to have a late-night drunken debacle, so if you pick up on some people having a really good fucking time, that's what's happening.
Oh, that won't be us?
No, certainly not.
Yeah, probably not. But, well, let's just hope you didn't burn up all your energy after River of Darkness to talk about the Toxic Avenger.
Well, I certainly burnt up all my fucking aggression. So let's talk about a movie I actually like.
All right. Well, let's start off with, for those who don't know about the Toxic Avenger, there has to be like 2-3 people. I do have a small synopsis. In the shadow of New York City, Tromaville, New Jersey is a city of corruption and selfishness, ruled by those powerful enough to take what they want and leave little in its wake. Enter Melvin Ferd, mop boy at the local Tromaville Health Club and target of bullying by a gang of local gym rats. When a prank taken too far results in Melvin falling into a vat of dangerous nuclear waste, he is transformed into a hideously deformed creature of superhuman size and strength. Using his newfound abilities, he takes to the streets seeking revenge and cleaning the streets of Tromaville along the way.
Right on, right on. Hey, Leroy! Always did want to cornhole me a blind bitch.
Oh, man.
I will call that most memorable line from the movie.
Yeah, probably. I mean, other than, yeah, and this is the reason they call me Cigar Face.
this fucking movie, dude, I have probably watched 150 times. But at the same time, I think I've watched the sequel, part two, even more. So when we were talking about watching this, I had so many images of the second one flowing through my fucking brain that to the point when I went back to this, even though I've watched it so many times, I was literally shocked again at how deep Toxie's voice is in this film. You know what I mean? It's,
oh, yeah.
Because by the second one and the third one, you know, they definitely chipper it up a lot.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Because, yeah, he's just like, hello, madam. Allow right, me and, to and help that, you.
Right. And something that he doesn't do in the sequels that he does in this movie, which I really love, is he talks some serious shit when he is fucking coming at these bad guys and he's killing them. You know, he turns kind of violently angry and he's like, yeah, what do you think about this? And he's just talking all kinds of crap. And I love it.
And then anytime that he isn't talking, it's just like feral Toxie. Right. You know, like Frankenstein noises and everything. Right. But while that's going down, you're just seeing awesomeness. Like when he's dunking the guy into the deep fryer. Just like, you know, puts the guy's hands in the cage, crushes it, then slams him down into it, and then brings the pipes down over top. The dude's not getting out of it. You know?
Right, dude, it's fantastic. There's so many fucking badass deaths in this thing. Let alone probably the scene that probably got this film banned all over the place, driving over a small child's head with the car and then crushing it just so they could take pictures of it twitching.
You know, and for points. There's and a yes, point of course, system involved.
Points, full 12 points if you take out the bike and the kid.
No, it's like 28.
Was it 28?
Yeah, 28 points.
Right.
Because the kid's like under 12 or something. And
right, there it is. There it is.
And he might have been Puerto Rican or something. Cause,
might yeah. as well, because this is the most racist movie ever made.
Just about. I mean, from anything from, you know, sitting in the murder vehicle, hearing about, you know, how Jews are worth so many, Puerto Ricans are worth so many, to the police chief, you know, evidently a throwback to the SS.
Right, right.
You know, I mein Führer everywhere. I mean, you know. But this movie is undoubtedly completely aware of just how raunchy it is.
Right. And I commend Lloyd Kaufman for this. I really do, because it's obvious these things aren't getting any financial backing. It's obvious that this film isn't something that's going to be screened all over the place for huge financial gain by any means. So he just thought, well, I'm going to make my version of a horror film and make it the most violently gory, disgustingly racist, sexist, titties flying all over the place movie I could possibly make.
Oh yeah, and he just makes something that is completely in your face and then continues to just rub it in. Just smears it all over and then asks you how it tastes and then gives you a round two.
Right, right. I mean, I love
the movie it's unrelenting, but it's so good.
Right, right. And it's one of those things that it starts with Melvin, okay? And Melvin is probably the biggest geek that has ever been put on film, period. Okay? He is a loser among losers. He is, you know, you look at this guy and you're like, God damn it, you're fucking pathetic.
Yeah, he gets beat up in the alley behind the comic book shop.
You know, yeah, he's that guy. He's the guy that you see, like, they're pantsing him in the middle of class or fucking giving him fucking wedgies.
The as teacher he's is.
Right, right.
Yeah, the teacher is bullying the kid.
Right, exactly. And fucking just seeing what happens to him and seeing that, you know, during a practical joke, they make him put on a fucking pink tutu because he just wants to get his dick wet. And then he goes outside to be humiliated while, you know, I guess making out with a sheep to leap out the window into toxic waste. And even when he's in this toxic waste and he's on the ground and he's fucking flipping out because his skin is fucking melting We got the dude that's the leader of the pack of the bad assholes looking at him saying he's faking it.
Yeah, he's faking it. Because the cop trying to help him, his hand's set on fire. Dude's faking it.
Right, he is. And if he can't take a joke, then screw him.
You know? Yeah. Yep. But, you know, he gets his. Which, I mean, there's kind of, you know, that underpinning thing is that generally everybody who kind of needs it gets it.
Right, right.
Throughout that film.
And I love the fact that it's somehow something in this mutation, something that has happened to him that makes it kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like a beacon that goes out to him, and all of a sudden he has no control over himself in any way and just goes out and kills all the evil in this town. And which eventually gets him in trouble because he kills some woman that he thinks he just went crazed and killed, but it turns out she did some horrible things and had a white slavery ring in the town. I've never heard of white slaves, but, you know, that's beautiful.
Well, you have now. So in addition to all of the nudity, violence, and profane racism, you learn about white slave rings.
Right. And you know, we've said nudity. There is two fantastic sets of titties in this film. And they both look very nice, and I both enjoy them. And I both enjoy them, said the beer. Oh, man. No, it's just there's so many things about this movie I fucking enjoy. None of it... I'd say none of the effects look real in any way. And how could they really look fucking real when it comes down to it? And, incidentally, if you watch this movie on Netflix, which I've got the ToxBox set, but I watched it on Netflix anyway, and it's the start of the Laserdisc edition. So you have Lloyd Kaufman coming up, and he's talking about, you just bought the digitally remastered Laserdisc Avenger. And then he's walking along like Skid Row and comes along Toxie smoking crack. Talking about how he lost his home and all his money and shit because the Toxic Crusaders cartoon went down and Playmates toys stopped making the toys, but they kept going with the Ninja Turtles, and then he lost all his fucking money, so now he's taking it up the ass and sucking dick for crack. And by the end of it, Lloyd Kaufman is smoking crack with Toxie. Trying to get some more, and Toxie's telling him, now first one's free, $5 for the next one.
Oh, thank you, Uncle Lloyd.
There you go. That's the sense of humor that's running through this film.
Oh, yeah. All the way through.
This film was made by someone with a supremely dark, disgusting sense of humor, and I love it for it, man.
Oh, yeah, this film is completely unapologetic. I mean, it's up to the viewer whether or not they want to enjoy this film or not for however it is. I mean, if you want to feel bad for watching it, well, I guess that's going to be your loss. Because if you let the film entertain you, it is going to entertain the living shit out of you.
Right. There is too many people, I feel. And it even happens a lot in horror. But it definitely happens in other genres of films. But there's so many people that get so goddamn easily offended. They are offended by everything that happens in anything. Okay, God forbid there's something said about a mentally handicapped person. God forbid there's something talked about, you know, someone standing in life or a race or this. And everybody goes up in arms, okay? But if you could find a film that just doesn't give a fuck... And you know that they're being racist and they're being sexist and they're being all these things. And not because fucking, you know, Lloyd Kaufman is a raving fucking racist, sexist piece of shit. It's because there is humor in anything. Anything humanly possible, there is humor in it. And if you get offended by humor, dude, that's basically your problem.
Oh, because... absolutely. And trauma films are just not for you. Ultimately, I mean, that's the bread and butter of trauma. I mean, I don't really want to brand it as exploitation, but it's kind of exploitation at its best, where it's just everything under the sun is an open target.
Right, right. And it does it in spades, man. And it's, I don't know, this movie, unlike the other ones, which is something I noticed in this one, it's got elements in it which could be conceived as horror. It really can.
With, like, the transformations and some of the deaths.
Well, not, yeah, some of the deaths, how they go about it. Okay, well, you're not seeing Toxie's face, how you're seeing him from behind, and he's just showing up, and there's, like, shadow effects, and then you see the people that he's chasing, particularly when it got to some of the girls that he was going after. All right, when he's going after the Julie girl, the blonde, and she's running through, like, this dark corridor, and I guess she's running underneath a building, and she opens up this door, and there's rats and everything, and she's screaming, and she's running, and Toxie's just screaming after her, calling her a fucking bitch, and all the things he's gonna do to her, and everything. You're just like, wow, this is kind of like a really B-horror movie for this scene. You know, it gives you that impression.
Well, that, the sauna scene.
Right, right.
Where it plays off an earlier gag in the film with, like, the Elephant Man and, you know, Toxie's underneath the sheet, you know.
Right, right.
And comes in and ends up, although you never see the girl dead.
No, which is another thing. It's like you don't see her dead. You don't see Julie dead. It was, to me, they're reminiscent of, like, some of the early Friday the 13th moments where you'd see someone coming at him and then it would just spring out and then you wouldn't see what happened to him and then later they would appear dead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you do see the one girl, you know, kind of get planted on hot sauna rocks, which I'm sure is a less than pleasant experience, but I think that's kind of the whole idea. There isn't a finesse death in the film. They're all brutal, and I think, to me, I think probably the most brutal sequence of the film is the drug dealer in the gym.
Yeah. Oh, dude, when he the weight down on his face.
Yeah, and just crushes half of his head, and then this is. To me, it's like the iconic shot of the film where it actually shows, like, the half head with, like, the tongue lopping and, like, the brain off to the side. And
yeah, dude. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's horror chops right there. And and even at the time, there weren't a whole lot of filmmakers who were willing to go that far with it.
Right, between that and fucking, like I said, a small child getting run over repeatedly by a car until his head crushes, you know, that stuff is, you won't see that kind of shit anywhere other than a trauma film.
You won't.
And it's balanced with the comedy so much. Like, fucking goddamn it, that Bozo character, dude. Okay, the boyfriend Bozo. He is so over the top angry.
At that everything.
It's tremendous, man. You're fucking up my karma. He's doing this. He's stressing me, Julie. Everything was quote-unquote stressing him.
Yeah.
You know, just the fact that Melvin, before he became the Toxic Avenger, was...
In existence.
He was breathing his air. He's stressing him.
Yeah.
Causing him so much trauma. You know what I mean? And it's just ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. It's I love the fact that they're trying to play on these people. Okay, we'll go back to that scene where they're running over the people with the cars trying to get points. He runs over the kid and he's like, I want another one. Let's go get another one. And his buddy in the back says, I can't.
Oh,
they're like, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, I got church in the morning. And they're like, like, it's okay because you have church. So these are the church going good people in Tromaville who happen to be raving psychopaths that are just killing people for the fuck of it.
Yeah, and then, you know, we can't really talk about this film without actually talking about, like, we're talking about how Toxie is going around killing everybody and doing he is a hero to the people of this town.
Right. He's like New Jersey's first superhero.
Yeah, he is like the hero of the downtrodden, the lovable monster of Tromaville.
Right.
The toxic waste dumping capital of the world.
Right, certainly. Certainly.
But you know, and when he's not dispensing gruesomely with the unsavories of Tromaville, you know, I think they try to paint him as having like the heart of gold. He loves children. He does everything to try to improve the community.
He fucks blind chicks in the middle of a fucking toxic waste dump. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
As they play loving romance music, it's fantastic. How could you not love Toxie?
I do love Toxie.
And that's the whole thing. This is a movie that you have to get on board for. You get on board and just let it. Like, my wife does not like horror films. There's a couple of them I could get her to watch them if they're really good. But I could put on Toxie, and even her, she will watch it and be like, Jesus Christ, Ryan. And I'll be like, yeah, I know. And she's like, well, it is amusing.
I can say the same thing. My fiance, not a horror movie fan. There are a very select few. But like, I think she's watched Planet Terror with me, which was kind of interesting to think that that would be a movie that she'd be good with. Because that's a pretty graphic...
Right.
But funny kind of movie. And she likes The Toxic Avenger. But, you know, again, it's not really even classified as a horror movie, although it does have the elements there.
Right. This to me is just a gory comedy that looks like it cost 35 cents.
Yeah. It would probably, yeah, it was like $11 and a lot of volunteering.
Right, exactly.
I mean, maybe he worked out something with the court system, community service. Hey, want to be in a film? It's educational. You know, be evil in Tromaville and, you know, get escorted into a deep fryer or pizza oven or have a shake made of your face.
Or shoved in a barrel and have your nuts speed bagged.
Yeah, yeah. Your eyes gouged out, or
which is always nice, or yeah, just so many things, or punched in your stomach and your intestines pulled out just so you could shove them back in yourself.
Yeah, for the do-it-yourselfer.
Right, of course.
All right, I think we've loved this movie enough. I think it's time to rate this son of a gun. What do you say?
What's our grading system again?
So I think we're just going to have, well, I think we have the recommend, the watchable, the unwatchable, and what you brought up with River of Darkness, the fuck this movie.
Yeah, I think this movie is extremely watchable. This is the type of movie drunk, sober, as long as you don't have small children next to you, this is a mighty fine film to watch. I couldn't recommend this movie enough. You know, in a way, kind of guardingly recommend this film. You know, I'm not going to walk up to somebody that I know has delicate sensibilities, and even though it's not something that they're going to be watching, and it's so blatantly, like, realistically gory by any means, but fucking, you know, if you're not a fucking loser, yes, I highly recommend The Toxic Avenger.
I'm pretty much with you. If they can handle any sort of over-the-top, non-PC... film. I mean, this is probably a must watch for really anybody who is kind of serious about liking movies. It's not a great movie.
No.
But in its but in its own way, it's a great fucking movie.
Right, that's the whole thing. This is one of the there's a reason why that people that even some people that haven't even seen a Toxic Avenger movie know who the Toxic Avenger is. It's not like it's changed history by any means, but it's certainly gained a reputation. And, you know, by that very definition, it is memorable, so it should be watched.
Absolutely, I agree. And I think that would probably be enough, so we'll come back after next break and put a bow on the show.
Right on, right on.
All right, so we will be right back.
Through the streets, drunk as fuck, searching for an open door.
the final segment of the show. Gotta say, it's been quite the evening with River of Darkness.
Fuck River of Darkness.
And the comparably very, very good film, The Toxic Avenger.
Certainly it is comparatively, yes, absolutely. And I'm going to stress it one more time in case people forgot since the first goddamn segment. Do not ever watch River of Darkness. I have been on many a show. I have done many a review. It is the worst film I've ever reviewed. It is horrid. Don't watch this movie. But other than that, I had a really good fucking time tonight, son.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to do these shows. So you'll never ever hear me complain about, you know, well, I'll leave it to you to complain about the content. I just hit the record button. But let's see. What do we have coming up?
We've got Duncan McLeish coming to visit.
That is correct.
From the podcast Under the Stairs and Rock and Reel Reviews and Midnight Horror Show and
Duncan and Bo Come Correct.
Duncan and Bo Come Correct and probably 15 other podcasts I'm not aware of. And we are going to be doing, we all chose a movie.
Yeah.
You chose.
It was decided that we do our special Halloween show. So, I figured it would be fitting to pick films that are fun, can get you in the spirit of Halloween. And that's not necessarily top shelf horror. Or it doesn't have to be top shelf horror. And I think my pick of Ernest Scared Stupid will hopefully be able to capture the Halloween spirit for both Ryan and Duncan.
Oh, certainly, certainly. And after that, we are going to be going over Halloween 3, because I don't care. That movie's awesome.
Fucking right. That movie is awesome.
And it screams fucking Halloween in every way, and it's got fucking Atkins in it, and you can't beat that with a stick. And Duncan has chosen Idle Hands. So that's the three movies we're going to be going over, and it's going to be our Halloween special, and it's going to be a good, drunken, fun fucking time. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, so anybody who's listening to this now, be sure to tune in right around Halloween. I think that episode should probably be dropping maybe a day or two before or after.
We'll try to get up there like the day before Halloween.
Rest assured, it will drop before Thanksgiving.
Right, right. By the very least.
Yeah. But what else do you have coming up here? Any shows that you'll be doing since?
I've got. We still haven't buckled down to do the Phantasm 4 yet. That's going to be happening in the coming weekend. Scheduling things, so that'll be coming up, and then we'll be putting a cap on our Phantasm until Ravenger comes out. And then we are going to, after that, we're going to actually be moving on to finish off our Exorcist retrospective.
Well done.
You've got
two rough ones in there, but you've got a really good one in there too.
Right. So basically,
it's Dominion.
Know.
I mean, that movie is fucking amazing.
Suck a dick, sir. I'd still watch Dominion any day over
two.
Exorcist 2, which is the next film we're going to be doing.
That's definitely got to be the toughest watch. But at least the locusts are an analog.
Right.
No digital beats.
It doesn't matter. Dude, you watch that film, and it is shocking. Shocking how far the decline went from the original.
Oh, yeah.
It goes from a film that, to me, when I watch The Exorcist, okay, number one, if you go back and listen to that episode on Graveship Radio, it is the only film we've ever done that hit masterpiece status. Yeah. Okay, we all rated it a masterpiece because that's how we all felt about it. And Duncan was there, and, you know, he'll be coming back for the rest of the retro. And then you go to this film that feels like a fucking big budget play. It's just so unrealistically shot. Everything about it seems bogus in every way. Nothing of it seems genuinely happening. And it's just horrendous. The story is ridiculous. It really is. It's... it hurts me watching this film. And I can't wait to fucking drill into it. And God forbid, God help anyone that defends it. God help them. It really straddles River of Darkness territory for me.
I guess. I can hear the foam forming at the edges of your mouth as you are just ready to spit venom at that film, which it honestly kind of deserves. It's not good. But like I said, you get to recover with a really good movie. So
Right. When Exorcist 3 comes out, that to me, that's something special. Yep. Love that movie.
Oh, yeah. Bradley Dourif, George C. Scott. Yeah. It's good stuff.
It has one of it has the greatest jump scare that has ever existed. And,
yeah, I mean, yeah, I can't think of one that really, that's a pretty amazing shot.
Right, I've seen it a billion times, this movie, and that shot still gets me every time.
It's because it's so off tempo. You expect it, you expect it, you expect it. You don't think for a second it gets you every time.
Every fucking time. I could be sitting there looking at the screen saying, okay, here it comes right now. Oh, wait, no. And then it goes, BAM! Like, fuck you. Fantastic. Yeah, so that's coming up, and that'll be a lot of fun. Between then, I'll probably have a two-drink minimum commentary here and there whenever I got the time. And that's pretty much it for me.
It sounds like plenty. For the avid listener of your work, as I am, there's going to be plenty available to me. So I guess, since I really have nothing to go on about, because this is my one gig.
But it's a fun gig, man.
It's
not about quantity. It's about
I always have fun with this show. So, but I guess until next time, we'll be seeing you.
Later.